Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, October 28th, 2023. Unveiling multi-million dollar Permian investment. Card locks can be found around the country, those lots with multiple fuel pumps that let customers use fuel cards to purchase gasoline or diesel. After observing the changes in demand for fuel and how consumers pay, Pilot Thomas Logistics undertook a multi-million dollar program to upgrade 12 of its card lock facilities in the Permian Basin. Recently, the company celebrated the completion of the first of those upgrades at its site at 2406 West Wall, while simultaneously launching its rebrand as PTL. Quote, "We've operated in the Permian and West Texas for many years," end quote, said David Reynolds, Senior Vice President, Commercial Sales and Marketing with Pilot Thomas, as he readied for a barbecue celebrating the launch of the revamped facility and new brand. Quote, "It's a recommitment to this market," end quote. "It's also a commitment to the customers and the company's 90 team members in the greater West Texas region," he added. "The upgrades were needed," he said, "and incorporate the latest technology, including card readers and contactless payments. The technology is also designed to prevent fraud and improve inventory management. The sites are open to consumers and commercial users and accept debit or credit cards or fleet cards." Reynolds said the company is also introducing a rewards program that offers participants a 7 cents per gallon discount. While fleet customers have had access to discounts, he said the program is now being expanded to consumers. The first phase of the 12 facilities located in West Texas and New Mexico is expected to continue through this coming January or February. They include 7 in West Texas and 5 in New Mexico. Then the next phase could include more locations in the greater Midland-Odessa area to encompass more of the PTL rebranding into markets where the company already has card locks. Pilot Thomas operates in 32 states and has more than 50 card lock locations in 9 of those states. The Wall Street location offers unleaded and premium gasoline and diesel, and one pump offers diesel exhaust fluid, which can be used to top off diesel tanks to reduce harmful emissions. Sweeping his arm around the site, Reynolds pointed out that there is ample room to add charging stations for electric vehicles as the market requires. Quote, "Until demand grows to a level where we think it's necessary, we won't," end quote, he said. Quote, "But as electric vehicles become more present, it is something we'll look to do," end quote, he said. MISD addresses delay in report card release. Howard, quote, "We are focused on improving student outcomes," end quote. Midland ISD addressed another delay in the release of 2023 Texas Education Agency's campus and district A through F accountability ratings on Friday. The district noted that the continued delay in the release of ratings is a result of an injunction granted by a federal district judge that prevents the TEA from releasing 2023 ratings until further notice or after a potential trial. The ruling is in response to a lawsuit filed by more than 100 Texas districts against TEA. Midland ISD stated it was not a part of the lawsuit in which districts allege changes to the new rating formula were not adequately shared with districts in time. Quote, "With a strong emphasis on academic excellence, we are focused on improving student outcomes," end quote, MISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard said in a press release. Last year, Midland ISD produced its best report card in nearly 2 decades. Administrators across the state expected worse this year. A previous Midland ISD report showed at the elementary and junior high levels, Midland ISD students improved on 11 of 48 categories, a 22.9% clip. The best student outcomes year over year happened with 3rd through 8th grade math, as MISD students improved in 8 of 18 categories. In reading language arts, improvement happened in 2 of 18 categories. In science and social studies, Midland ISD reported one year-over-year improvement in 12 attempts. In Friday's press release, it was reported, quote, the district's 2023 STAR and EOC results showed improvement in several areas. 14 of the 27 areas that were measured showed improvement from the prior year or stayed the same, end quote. Quote, while we agree with the arguments that resulted in the lawsuits, we believe our time, energy, and resources should be spent focused on instruction, coaching our teachers, and monitoring student progress, end quote, Howard said in the press release. Quote, we welcome accountability as long as it is fair, timely, accurate, and meaningful, end quote. Middle East headlines fuel oil price roller coaster. Geopolitical headlines sent crude prices on a roller coaster powered mainly by developments coming out of the Middle East. Crude futures ended the week above $85 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange fell 3 of 5 trading days, opening the trading week with a $2.59 plunge that was followed Tuesday by an additional $1.75 drop. WTI attempted to regain its footing Wednesday, rising $1.63 but fell $2.18 Thursday. Israel's apparent ramping up of its ground activity in Gaza Friday morning sent prices climbing $2.33 to end the week at $85.54 per barrel, down from $88.75 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $82.02, according to Plains All-American. Quote, the crude markets remain very tight, both domestically and internationally, end quote, A.J. O'Donnell, director research at East Daily Analytics, told the reporter Telegram by email. Even through peak refinery turnaround season, commercial crude inventories only saw a modest increase and continue to hover near the 5-year average low, which has kept prices and volatility high in crude markets, he wrote. Quote, a big reason inventories have been unable rebuild has been strong demand for U.S. barrels at our Gulf Coast export docks. With OPEC Plus extending their production cuts through year-end and an unstable Middle East, incremental U.S. production has found a home in international markets, end quote, he continued. O'Donnell concluded, quote, we think prices are likely remain elevated through the remainder of 2023, but could see a little downward pressure in early 2024 should OPEC Plus decide to increase production, end quote. Cold weather heated up natural gas futures on the NYMEX, sending prices above $3 per MCF. Prices rose 4 of 5 trading days, highlighted by a 20-cent jump Thursday, following the first major snowstorm of the season hitting midweek. Prices retreated a nickel Friday to end the week at $3.164 per MCF, up from $2.899 at last Friday's close. Quote, this could be a last gasp for November price support, end quote. Jack Weeksel, senior consultant with East Daily Analytics, told the reporter Telegram by email, quote, there could be a very warm month ahead, end quote. Oil remains the key geopolitical risk barometer as prices rise when war premium grows. Edward Moya, senior market analyst, The Americas, with OANDA, wrote in his daily newsletter, quote, so far there has been little disruption with crude supplies, and that is why oil still trades around the levels after the first oil prices surge occurred following the Hamas surprise attacks against Israel, end quote. Middle East tensions are not going away anytime soon, and that could eventually lead to some crude export disruptions from Iran, Moya added. He predicted Brent crude, the global benchmark, should eventually find a home above the $90 a barrel level as global growth concerns from a relentless bond market sell-off could be easing. Opinion. Vote yes. Prioritize teachers, students. Wes Perry, former Midland mayor. Vote yes. Prioritize teachers, students. Midland's most significant opportunity today is to solve our woefully overcrowded schools. Currently, 40% of them are over capacity, which will increase with the projected growth of Midland's population. The backbone of our schools is our teachers. They are heroes. For the teachers to do their job effectively, they must have up-to-date, uncrowded classrooms and schools. The best way all of us, young and old, can support our teachers is by voting yes for this bond. By voting yes, 2 new comprehensive high schools and a new elementary school will be built. plus middle school improvements, security enhancements, and K-3 education. Stuart Doreen's article in the October 21st, 2023 edition of the Reporter-Telegram is an excellent analysis of the facts. Many Midland volunteers spend hundreds of hours looking at various options. This is the best solution, and we thank them for their selfless effort. Voting yes provides for all the current needs and many opportunities for Midland's future. Midland's workforce needs are changing. The CTE, Career and Technical Education, program is graduating students from our high schools in collaboration with Midland College to provide Midland's next-gen jobs in various fields like engineering, medical, and business management. Programs like STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, and YWLA, Young Women Leadership Academy, provide Midland students with opportunities they've never had before. Another program showing great promise is the TAFE, Texas Association of Future Teachers program, with Midland College providing teachers. These programs will be expanded if you vote yes for this bond. Many young families are moving here to work and raise their children. They are volunteering at the hospital, nonprofits, churches, and schools. They fund major projects and businesses, adding vitality and life to our great community. We all benefit from these young families moving here and becoming active citizens. Join Ronnie and me by voting yes and showing our teachers and children that they are our highest priority. Opinion. Truth missing from bond supporters' arguments. Ernest Angelo Jr., former Midland mayor. Why won't the supporters of the $1.4 billion bond be truthful about it? Maybe it's because the facts do not support a yes vote. The fact is that there may not be a tax rate increase, but there will be a tax increase. The fact is this bond will eat up the large state tax cut you otherwise would receive. The fact is that the $1.4 billion bond includes wants as well as needs. The fact is the bond includes $40 million for indoor football practice facilities. The fact is that we believe this may be in violation of state law, which requires that this type of facility be on a separate proposition. That is how Odessa is handling their bond proposal. The fact is, if passed, it would be the eighth largest school bond in Texas history. The fact is MISD is rated near the bottom in Texas for student performance. The fact is that new buildings do not mean higher student achievement. The fact is that two of MISD's three new elementary schools are rated C and the other F. The fact is that MISD has more than $200 million in surplus funds, more than $80 million more than needed for emergency and bond rating reasons. The fact is those funds could be used to construct a much-needed new elementary school at no additional taxpayer expense. The fact is that the remaining surplus could be used to start on deferred maintenance and/or safety and security. The fact is MISD's plan includes the destruction of Ranchland Hills Golf Course. The fact is you can be a supporter of Midland school children without being for the $1.4 billion bond. That is where I find myself. I had the honor of serving as mayor of Midland from 1972 to 1980, a time when I spent much of my working hours on city business. A mayor of Midland receives $75 a month compensation. We raised our four children here and all graduated from Robert E. Lee High School. Two of them are now again Midland residents. I love Midland and want it to prosper and grow. The opportunity is that there for that to be a reality, but it will not happen if we do not get our education system fixed. Having less than 40% of students performing at grade level is a statistic which we cannot ignore. MISD must demonstrate the commitment and the strategy to radically alter student performance. Teachers cannot succeed when discipline is nearly non-existent, as many are saying, and the recently resigned MISD police chief seems to confirm. Less than a year ago, MISD was fortunate to hire Stephanie Howard as our new superintendent. We knew Dr. Howard well when she was the principal at Lee High School, where she did an excellent job. I am confident she has the ability and the will to get MISD where it needs to be, at the top, not the bottom, in Texas. Saddling the district with a $1.4 billion bond is not the way to start. Support our children and our community by voting for MISD accountability, not for $1.4 billion. If you agree with me, cast a no vote on the bond. Regardless of the outcome, I and Move Midland are committed to continuing being a part of the discussion on issues that impact all of us. We believe facts matter, and transparency and accountability go hand in hand to successfully promote projects that have the potential to make Midland better for all who live here and those who want to come here. Opinion. Vote yes to support educational growth this November. By Scott Sheffield, Pioneer Natural Resources CEO, and Lance Robertson, Endeavor Energy Resources CEO, and Travis Stice, Diamondback Energy CEO and Board Chair, and Tim Leach, ConocoPhillips Board Member, and Don Evans, former Commerce Secretary, and Jack Harper, Headlock Investment Company co-founder and partner. Population growth in our region over the past decade has been nothing short of extraordinary, all drawn by the prosperity of the Permian Basin. While this growth is undoubtedly a testament to the strength of our industry and local economy, it has also placed significant strain on our educational infrastructure, and thus the security of our future workforce and ability to recruit to our community. The overwhelming majority of our schools are decades old. As our aging campuses have struggled to keep pace with modern technology and the influx of new students, pressing problems have emerged, most notably school overcrowding and safety. Congested classrooms and safety concerns limit our children's learning and hinder our teachers' capacity to provide the quality education they deserve. Thankfully, this November's election offers our community members and business leaders a crucial opportunity to take a stand in support of our public schools. To help facilitate long overdue improvements, reduce operating costs, and enhance the quality of workplace environment for educators, our local school districts are asking us to support various bonds in our community. Unlike severance and education-related property taxes, 100% of these bonds will stay in our region, having a direct positive impact on our schools. If passed, these bonds would provide funding to expand our high schools, improvements across middle school campuses, district-wide safety and security measures, upgrades to aging facilities, technology, infrastructure, and new elementary schools. These bond initiatives are a natural next step that will provide the necessary resources to modernize and expand our educational facilities to accommodate our community's growth. By investing in additional classrooms and improved infrastructure, we can reduce overcrowding, create a more conducive learning environment, and ensure our children receive the education they need to thrive in an ever-changing world. We are not only investing in immediate needs for our educational infrastructure, but in our future workforce development requirements to secure the Permian Basin as a leading economy in our state and nation. The Permian Basin is poised for continued growth in our thriving energy industry. By 2040, we will require an additional 190,000 workers to meet our industry demands. To secure our region's economic prosperity, we must have a well-educated and skilled workforce ready to fill these positions. Through these regional school bonds, we are enhancing our children's educational experience and laying the foundation for a stronger, more competitive Permian Basin workforce. We must provide our students and teachers with the safest, most secure learning environments while continuing to drive progress towards higher academic performance. It is not one or the other. We must have both. We cannot afford to wait any longer to invest in our education system. With the current MISD and ECISD bonds specifically, if passed, there will be no net increase to the overall tax rate, thanks to a decrease in the district's maintenance and operations budget and a change to our state's homestead exemption. This means we can secure a brighter future for our children and our future Permian Basin workforce, without placing an additional financial burden on our community. As we approach the crucial decision at hand, remember that early voting is underway until November 3rd, with Election Day set for November 7th. Every vote counts, and so do our children's future. Get out and vote and join us in saying, quote, yes, end quote, to the bonds on your ballot. Together we can shape a brighter tomorrow for our community and its next generation. Opinion. Basin PBS undermines its own mission with biased bond forum. Quote, trust is the foundation of Basin PBS, end quote. You can find that statement under the, quote, values, end quote, section of the Basin PBS website. However, a recent event has me wondering if their actions align with this foundational principle. Thursday evening, Basin PBS hosted a town hall that promised to be informative only on what is in MISD's proposed $1.4 billion bond. Unfortunately, the event became a one-sided narrative from three Bond supporters, an MISD associate superintendent, and a former MISD teacher, all advocating for the Bond's passage. It is disheartening that Base and PBS allowed such a one-sided dialogue, especially given they receive public funds. When an entity accepts public funding, it bears a responsibility for trustworthiness and impartiality. The PBS national editorial standards emphasize the importance of sharing, quote, diverse perspectives, end quote, that align with the goals of a democratic society. Transparency is paramount in democratic societies. Base and PBS should, by virtue of its public funding, dedicate itself to presenting balanced viewpoints. Instead, their own town hall showcased a biased stance, undermining the transparency and trust they should uphold. To borrow a phrase from one of the town hall panelists, Base and PBS can, quote, walk and chew gum, end quote, by providing citizens with an informative town hall that encourages the free exchange of ideas and fosters well-informed citizens. An additional concern arises from the sponsors of the town hall, Diamondback Energy, Pioneer Natural Resources, and ProPetro, all of which are financial supporters of Energize Midland Schools, a pro-bond political action committee. The influence of these financial backers further clouds the impartiality of the event. In light of this, the town hall would have been more appropriate on one of the several privately funded local television broadcast networks. PBS editorial standard states, quote, content distributed by PBS must be free of undue influence from third-party funders, end quote. I urge the Basin PBS board to stand by their documented values and rectify this situation for Midland voters by allowing for a complete exchange of ideas without external influence. Basin PBS can reestablish trust, integrity, and transparency, upholding the principles essential to its mission and the values it claims to hold dear. Elections Office, more than 6,100 votes cast in Midland County. Early voting locations. Elections Office, Midland County Annex Building, 2100 North A Street. Centennial Library, 2503 West Loop, 250 North. Cogdell Learning Center, 201 West Florida Avenue. Fairmont Park, Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive. Village at Manor Park, Margaret Cowden Clubhouse, Sparks Great Room, 5212 Sinclair Avenue. Early voting hours for all locations. Saturday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday, 1 to 7 p.m. Monday, November 3rd, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting ballots cast. Monday, 933. Tuesday, 1,288. Wednesday, 1,218. Thursday, 1,102. Friday, 1,626. Mailed ballots received, 175. Total, 6,167. Phones and MISD branding. Midland County stated Thursday there have been issues with people not putting their phones away at early voting centers. From Midland County, quote, the use of electronic devices is prohibited within 100 feet of a vote center. If voters have their cheat sheets for voting on their phone, that information needs to be transferred to a piece of paper before coming to vote, end quote. The county also clarified information provided last week having to do with voters wearing school names or district logos on shirts or clothing. Quote, the Midland County Elections Administrator reached out to the Secretary of State Office for clarity, end quote, the district wrote. Quote, SOS office says individual school shirts and anything with the plain MISD logo is okay. Only clothing that has anything for or against the bond is prohibited, end quote. District ID badges are prohibited, the district wrote. Important election dates. November 3rd, last day of early voting. November 7th, election day, and last day to receive ballot by mail. Elections Office. More than 6,100 votes cast in Midland County. Early voting locations. Elections Office, Midland County Annex Building, 2100 North A Street. Centennial Library, 2503 West Loop, 250 North. Cogdell Learning Center, 201 West Florida Avenue. Fairmont Park, Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive. Village at Manor Park, Margaret Cowden Clubhouse, Sparks Great Room, 5212 Sinclair Avenue. Early voting hours, for all locations. Saturday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday, 1 to 7 p.m. Monday, November 3rd, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting ballots cast. Monday, 933. Tuesday, 1,288. Wednesday, 1,218. Thursday, 1,102. Friday, 1,626. Mailed ballots received, 175. Total, 6,167. Phones and MISD branding. Midland County stated Thursday there have been issues with people not putting their phones away at early voting centers. From Midland County, quote, the use of electronic devices is prohibited within 100 feet of a vote center. If voters have their cheat sheets for voting on their phone, that information needs to be transferred to a piece of paper before coming to vote, end quote. The county also clarified information provided last week having to do with voters wearing school names or district logos on shirts or clothing. Quote, the Midland County Elections Administrator reached out to the Secretary of State Office for clarity, end quote, the district wrote. Quote, SOS office says individual school shirts and anything with the plain MISD logo is okay. Only clothing that has anything for or against the bond is prohibited, end quote. District ID badges are prohibited, the district wrote. Important election dates. November 3rd, last day of early voting. November 7th, election day, and last day to receive ballot by mail. Opinion. Vote yes to support educational growth this November. By Scott Sheffield, Pioneer Natural Resources CEO, and Lance Robertson, Endeavor Energy Resources CEO, and Travis Stice, Diamondback Energy CEO and Board Chair, and Tim Leach, ConocoPhillips Board Member, and Don Evans, former Commerce Secretary, and Jack Harper, Headlock Investment Company co-founder and partner. Population growth in our region over the past decade has been nothing short of extraordinary, all drawn by the prosperity of the Permian Basin. While this growth is undoubtedly a testament to the strength of our industry and local economy, it has also placed significant strain on our educational infrastructure, and thus the security of our future workforce and ability to recruit to our community. The overwhelming majority of our schools are decades old, as our aging campuses have struggled to keep pace with modern technology and the influx of new students. Pressing problems have emerged, most notably school overcrowding and safety. Congested classrooms and safety concerns limit our children's learning and hinder our teachers' capacity to provide the quality education they deserve. Thankfully, this November's election offers our community members and business leaders a crucial opportunity to take a stand in support of our public schools. To help facilitate long overdue improvements, reduce operating costs, and enhance the quality of workplace environment for educators, our local school districts are asking us to support various bonds in our community. Unlike severance and education-related property taxes, 100% of these bonds will stay in our region, having a direct positive impact on our schools. If passed, these bonds would provide funding to expand our high schools, improvements across middle school campuses, district-wide safety and security measures, upgrades to aging facilities, technology, infrastructure, and new elementary schools. These bond initiatives are a natural next step that will provide the necessary resources to modernize and expand our educational facilities to accommodate our community's growth. By investing in additional classrooms and improved infrastructure, we can reduce overcrowding, create a more conducive learning environment, and ensure our children receive the education they need to thrive in an ever-changing world. We are not only investing in immediate needs for our educational infrastructure, but in our future workforce development requirements to secure the Permian Basin as a leading economy in our state and nation. The Permian Basin is poised for continued growth in our thriving energy industry. By 2040, we will require an additional 190,000 workers to meet our industry demands. To secure our region's economic prosperity, we must have a well-educated and skilled workforce ready to fill these positions. Through these regional school bonds, we are enhancing our children's educational experience and laying the foundation for a stronger, more competitive Permian Basin workforce. We must provide our students and teachers with the safest, most secure learning environments while continuing to drive progress towards higher academic performance. It is not one or the other. We must have both. We cannot afford to wait any longer to invest in our education system. With the current MISD and ECISD bonds specifically, if passed, there will be no net increase to the overall tax rate. Thanks to a decrease in the district's maintenance and operations budget and a change to our state's homestead exemption. This means we can secure a brighter future for our children and our future Permian Basin workforce without placing an additional financial burden on our community. As we approach the crucial decision at hand, remember that early voting is underway until November 3rd, with Election Day set for November 7th. Every vote counts, and so do our children's future. Get out and vote and join us in saying, quote, yes, end quote, to the bonds on your ballot. Together we can shape a brighter tomorrow for our community and its next generation. Midland's Keon Lewis sentenced to life without parole. DA, jury finds Lewis guilty of killing ex-girlfriend, shooting another. Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodolf announced that a 31-year-old Midland man was sentenced late Thursday to terms of life in prison and 20 years after being found guilty by a Midland County jury. Keon Devon Lewis, 31, was charged with capital murder and aggravated assault. After evidence lasting most of the week, the jury found Lewis guilty of both capital murder and aggravated assault late Thursday afternoon after slightly more than an hour deliberating. Because the state was not seeking the death penalty for capital murder, the sentence after the jury's guilty verdict was an automatic term of life in prison without the possibility of parole. That sentence was assessed by Senior Judge David Rogers, who also imposed a maximum 20-year sentence for the aggravated assault charge. Quote, the evidence presented in the case showed that the defendant killed his former girlfriend, 28-year-old Treve Monique Jackson, after breaking into her West Midland apartment in the early morning hours of September 27, 2021. End quote, a press release from the Midland County DA's office reported. Quote, after killing Ms. Jackson, Lewis then used her cell phone and pretended to be her in order to lure another man, Matisse Guidros, to the apartment. Once Mr. Guidros arrived, he was shot twice by Lewis but managed to escape and notify police. Lewis fled the scene but was apprehended the next day in Roswell, New Mexico, and brought back to Midland where he has remained in custody until the trial. The case was investigated by the Midland Police Department with assistance from the Texas Rangers. The life sentence was automatic after a conviction for capital murder, and the defendant will not be eligible for parole. The 20-year sentence for aggravated assault will be served at the same time as the life sentence. The case was prosecuted by Midland County Assistant District Attorneys Todd Meador and Lauren Gavin. The trial was held in the 142nd District Court. Colleen Mann gets life in prison for 2022 murder. Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodolf announced that a 27-year-old Colleen Mann was sentenced to life in prison by a Midland jury on Thursday. Javon Elliston was charged with murder, tampering with a corpse, and tampering with evidence. On Wednesday evening, the jury found Elliston guilty on all three counts after about 4 hours of deliberation. On Thursday, the jury assessed Elliston's punishment as life in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for murder, life for tampering with a corpse, and 20 years for tampering with evidence. Quote, the evidence presented in the case showed that on February 6, 2022, Midland Police Department officers were called out to the Wyndham Garden Inn in reference to a body found stripped of all his clothes and the bed stripped of bedding. The people in the room next door stated they heard a fight around 2 a.m. with a man yelling, "Help me, he's going to kill me." They then heard a choking sound fade out. Police looked at the surveillance videos from the hotel and located a man with neck tattoos dressed all in black wearing gray house shoes follow the victim to his room. This man was also seen on surveillance videos waiting in the lobby of the hotel for over an hour before going back to wander the hallways. He was seen leaving the victim's room at around 5:50 a.m. with a bundle of bedding in the hall. The man was wearing the victim's jacket and carrying what appeared to be two pillowcases full of the victim's personal items. The man was identified through Crime Stopper tips and a former girlfriend as Javon Elliston. The defendant testified that it was not him on the videos, and the women who testified as such were lying because he had turned down their romantic advances. Evidence was presented during the trial that he had previously been convicted of aggravated robbery in 2011. End quote. A press release from the Midland County District Attorney's Office reported. This case was prosecuted by Midland County Assistant District Attorneys Lacey Holloman and Evans Miller. It was held in the 238th District Court. Life Tributes. Margaret Price Cowden, 5/15/1930 to 10/24/2023. Margaret Price Cowden peacefully died October 24, 2023, in her home. A resident of Midland for over 70 years, she was regarded as a devoted wife and nurturing mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, a cherished friend to many, a valued champion of good causes in Midland, and a Christian whose life bore testimony to her faith. Margaret was born on May 15, 1930, in Pampa, Texas, to Willis Davidson Price, Sr., Fady, and Margaret Chatterton Price, Honey, as part of a pioneer Texas Panhandle ranching family. The baby of the family, she was the tag-along sister to her three sisters, Mary, Martha, and Harriet, and her brother, Buddy. Margaret is survived by her children, Cynthia Cowden Clark, and her husband, Dave, of Pensacola, Florida, and their children, John Clark and Susan Waters, Price Cowden and his wife, Nancy, of Estes Park, Colorado, and their children, Christy Cowden, Sarah Faulkner, and Laura Pittman, Holt Cowden and his wife, Kay, of Midland, and their children, Courtney Cowden III and Chris Cowden, Lynn Cowden of Skellytown, Texas, and his children, Kemper Cowden, Patrick Cowden, Craig Cowden, and Mary Caroline O'Neill, and Susan Cowden Rayburn and her husband, Kyle, of Dallas, and their children, Zach Rayburn, Scott Rayburn, and Michelle Rayburn. She is also survived by 29 great-grandchildren. Margaret was preceded in death by her beloved Courtney, her parents, her sisters Mary Patterson, Martha Smith, Harriet Faudry, and by her brother Buddy Price. She was also preceded in death by two grandchildren, Catherine Ann Clark and Blake Cowden Rayburn, and by great-grandchildren, Carl Hugo Dungis and Mary Caroline Cowden. A visitation with family and friends will be held from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, October 29th at The Branch at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. A memorial service to be held at 2 o'clock p.m. Monday, October 30th at First Presbyterian Church, 800 West Texas Avenue in Midland, with the Reverend Steve Shore officiating. Margaret Cowden will be buried in the Cowden family gravesite at Fairview Cemetery following the memorial service. In lieu of flowers, memorial gifts honoring Margaret Cowden may be directed to The Village at Manor Park, 2208 North Loop 250, Midland, Texas, 79707, to First Presbyterian Church, 800 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701, or to Friends of Fairview Advised Fund, Permian Basin Area Foundation, 3312 Andrews Highway, Midland, Texas, 79703. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Stanley Dickerson, 6/16/1944 to 10/23/2023. Odessa. Stanley Dickie Richard Dickerson, age 79, of Gardendale, Texas, passed away on Monday, October 23, 2023. Dickie was born June 16, 1944, to Stanley, Eddie, and Marion Lucas Dickerson in Knightdale, North Carolina. He is preceded in death by his parents, grandson Bronson Dickerson, sister Rose Marie McMasters, nephew Eddie Dickerson, and great-niece Sydney Dickerson. Dickie is survived by his wife of 27 years, children Brian Dickerson, Melissa Dale Beatty, Desmond Deanna Dickerson, Stan Dickerson, Candy Pat Mahaffey, Bobby Davenport, Cade Kelsey Konatzer, Landon Konatzer, and Patricia Guerra. Grandchildren Chelsea, Jordan, Kenzie, Callie, Laney, Cadence, Aiden, Colton, Bentley, Briley, Briston, Collier, Bailey, Carly, and great-grandson Atlas. A visitation for Dickie will be held Tuesday, October 31st, 2023, from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, 601 North Allegheny Avenue, Odessa, Texas, 79761. A funeral service will occur Wednesday, November 1st, 2023, at 2 o'clock p.m. at Crossroads Church, 6901 East Highway 191, Odessa, Texas, 79762. Dickey will be laid to rest in Sunset Memorial Gardens, 6801 East I-20, Business Loop, Odessa, Texas, 79762. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.hubbardkellyfuneralhome.com for the Dickerson family. Richard Motika, 3/21/1955 to 10/24/2023. Hudson Oaks. Richard Allen Rick Motika was born on March 21, 1955, in Van Wert, Ohio, to Frank George Motika and to Mary Frances Socor Motika, and passed away on October 24, 2023, in Hudson Oaks, Texas, at the age of 68 years old. Rick was the second of four sons born to Frank and Mary Frances Motika. Rick is preceded in death by his mother and father. Rick is survived by his wife of 25 years, Christy Motika of Hudson Oaks, Texas. He is also survived by Mickey Ray and wife Megan of Austin, Texas, Jesse Ray of Austin, Texas, Sarah Smith and husband Philip of Aledo, Texas, Rachel Campbell and husband Holton of Aledo, Texas, Chandler Schoonover and husband Toby of Weatherford, Texas, and 11 grandchildren who brought him the greatest joy. He is also survived by his brothers Frank, Tom, and Mike Motika, and several nieces and nephews. A celebration of life will be held on December 2, 2023, at the Fort Worth Botanic Garden, located at 3220 Botanic Garden Boulevard, Fort Worth, Texas. The celebration will take place at 2 p.m. Celebratory attire is encouraged. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that you consider making a donation to the National Parks Foundation or to Canine Companions. Opinion: An analytical examination of MISD tax rate changes. Greetings. As a conscientious citizen and a professional in the field of mathematics, I find it crucial to provide an impartial analysis of the recent alterations of the tax rate set by the Midland Independent School District, MISD. I will demonstrate these changes using a representative home valued at $330,000 and extend that discussion to explore the potential for educational investment. Specifically, I will present a hypothetical situation in which the savings from these tax changes could be invested in an annuity for a two-year-old child's college education. Fiscal yearly breakdown of MISD tax rates. Fiscal year 2022-23. MISD tax rate, 91.48 cents per $100 valuation. Resultant property tax, $3,018.84. Fiscal year 2023-24, MISD tax rate, 87.70 cents per $100 valuation. Resultant property tax, $2,893.10. Anticipated scenarios for fiscal year 2024-25. 1. With bond approval. Projected MISD tax rate, 88.41 cents per $100 valuation. Projected property tax, $2,917.53. Variation from fiscal year 2022-23, a decrease of $101.31. 2. Without bond approval, projected MISD tax rate, 66.95 cents per $100 valuation. Projected property tax, $2,210.35. Variation from fiscal year 2022-23, a decrease of $808.49. These figures indicate that a long-term commitment extending for the duration of 30 years could result in a financial impact ranging between $500 and $700 annually. Hypothetical scenario: investment in a two-year-old child's college fund. To provide a contextual framework, let us consider a hypothetical scenario where one invests the annual tax savings into an annuity for a two-year-old child's future college expenses. The assumed rate of return is 7.5%. 1. With bond approval, annual tax savings, $101.31. Potential value of annuity at age 18, approximately $3,348. 2. Without bond approval, annual tax savings, $808.49. Potential value of annuity at age 18, approximately $26,527. Opinion. Let's be all in together for education in Midland. As I pen this, it is with the passion of a private citizen, not a school board member, to express why I am all in for education in Midland. 16 years ago, longtime Midlanders introduced us to this beautiful city. Instantly, we recognized it as the ideal place to raise our family. After adventures in New Mexico, Alaska, Norway, and Katy, and six children later, fate brought us to Midland with ConocoPhillips' acquisition of Concho. In my profession as a mental health therapist, the overwhelming number of clients signaled a clear need in our community. I reached out to two co-workers in Houston to move to Midland and help with the mental health crisis. One was a former Midlander whose child was thriving at the brand new, large, state-of-the-art facilities in Houston. The other declined due to the lack of infrastructure and things to do. This illustrates the challenges of attracting talent to Midland. Our own introduction to local education was a wake-up call. We were shocked when we first saw Legacy High School. In front of us was the newest high school in Midland, built in 1960 when the population was 60,000, now groans under the strain of modern student numbers. My children experienced overcrowded classrooms, some without enough desks. Also restrictive educational choices, such as an inability to participate in advanced courses and certain extracurricular clubs at Legacy Freshmen, which are only offered at the main campus. Logistical constraints due to transportation between the campuses resulted in a loss of important class time and was taxing on our entire family. Yet, my children persevered, and it reinforced our resolve to be all in for Midland's education. After having five superintendents in less than 4 years, we finally got a superintendent who was all in, Stephanie Howard. She stated, quote, "I came back to the district to provide stability," end quote. She refuses to stand for mediocrity, and her commitment to excellence is evident. Under her leadership, the district immediately implemented new disciplinary policies that led to a 30% decline in fights and fewer classroom disruptions. Competitive staff compensation, consistent literacy programs, and enhanced partnerships for career and technology education. Recently, MISD rolled out a comprehensive strategic plan to improve academic outcomes with meaningful goals and requirements with accountability metrics. All these steps were taken with clear goals and accountability to the public. My participation on the bond committee opened my eyes to the potential of our community bond. It promises enhanced safety to every facility, a clear long-term resolution to campus capacity issues, allows for opportunities to improve student outcomes through grade reconfiguration, and so much more. Most excitingly for me, it opens doors to 1,400 new pre-K students. Currently, we only serve 5% of our pre-K 3 students due to lack of facility space. As our children begin their educational journey, early intervention is key to improving student outcomes. Accountability remains central to MISD. The formation of the Bond Advisory Committee, comprising of community members, guarantees this. To understand the bond's scope and potential, I urge everyone to visit MidlandBond2023.com. When considering the fiscal side, our district has been very conservative. The projected $0.2175 INS tax rate for the bond ensures taxpayer money remains in Midland. Let's compare this to Lubbock Cooper ISD, which is rated in the top 20% for public education. Despite having an INS rate more than twice ours, $0.50, their student population is a third of ours. With the ongoing teacher shortage, we are constantly competing with our neighbors for the best and brightest new teachers. We must invest in our future to remain competitive. According to a recent U.S. Census, Midland County's population is now surpassing 172,000. So I implore both old and new Midlanders to be all in. Our educators and students are poised for greatness, but they need resources. We cannot expect our teachers to pump harder and produce more in overcrowded classrooms. Midland ISD currently serves over 28,600 students, which is well over the majority of students in Midland, and our student population is expected to balloon by more than 4,300 over the next 10 years. The answer to this unprecedented growth isn't makeshift solutions like portable classrooms. To the skeptics, let's foster collaboration rather than division. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. The only thing that can get in our way is ourselves. All in together as a community, we can put education wholly on a new trajectory. Some may ask, quote, what's in it for me, end quote. Whether you have already raised your kids are in private or don't have any, this bond will benefit you. These students are the answer to the employee shortage in our area. They are our future entrepreneurs, medical professionals, trade professionals, and leaders. Consider the long-term benefits an educated workforce promotes. Economic growth curtails crime and enriches the community. If we want to enjoy a thriving community tomorrow, we must all invest in our youth today. Sayings like, quote, teachers are our heroes, quote, children are our future, and, quote, it takes a village, mean nothing without action. To truly value our educators and students, we must act. I urge Midland to be all in and vote yes for Proposition A. All eyes are on us. Midland, the heart of the USA's energy sector, needs to prioritize education. We have every resource to thrive and succeed. As I work with hundreds of Midlanders who are all in, I am optimistic and excited. This bond symbolizes a new chapter for Midland and shows that education will be at the heart of our bright future. Stephanie Mead, Midland ISD board member. Election letters to the editor. Bond election. The bond is an investment worth making. It is time for all registered voters to vote on the Midland School Bond. We recently attended an exhilarating volleyball matchup between MHS and LHS at the MHS Gymnasium. Sadly, the game was a struggle for both players and spectators, as the AC hardly worked, the undersized bleachers cramped even the shortest legs, the low roof of the gymnasium interfered throughout the contest, and dozens of onlookers had to watch from the floor while other fans were turned away due to capacity constraints. It's no surprise that a gymnasium constructed in 1928 doesn't accommodate for 2023. That's just the gymnasium. Now apply the same egregious outdating to your child's classrooms, science laboratories, computer stations, technology infrastructure, learning environments, safety and security needs, athletic facilities, etc. Welcome to MISD. How can we honestly say we are preparing the kids of MISD for future success in facilities that, on average district-wide, predate the JFK assassination? Evangelist Billy Graham said, quote, give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook and I will tell you where their heart is, end quote. What would our community checkbook say about our heart towards education? MISD landed hometown proven leader Dr. Stephanie Howard in January. Now, the opportunity to invest in the futures of our children and in Midland has arrived. Please vote yes. Ryan Riddle, MHS class of 2002. Voting yes is better than doing nothing. It is time for all registered voters to vote on the Midland School Bond. My husband and I will vote yes to the Midland School Bond on November 7th. For my husband, it is an easy decision. For me, voting yes is difficult for many reasons, but I will vote yes because it is better than doing nothing at this time. November 7th is not the end of the process. Stuart Doreen closed the MRT October 18th bond forum with a question. What happens on November 8th? If the bond passes, the real work begins. If it fails, the process starts over. No matter how we voted, all Midlanders must work together. We must listen objectively to different perspectives, priorities, and concerns. Only then can we sort, modify, and consolidate all ideas into a positive outcome for Midland voters, where students and teachers are the ultimate winners. Alethi Blischke. MISD District 7 election. Gwen proves willing to represent District 7. I am writing this letter in support of Josh Gwynn for MISD District 7 in the November 2023 election. I have been blessed with knowing Josh for over 30 years. He grew up here in Midland and went to MISD schools. He now has children who attend MISD. He has spent the last 16 years in the oil and gas extraction industry. His strong work ethic and intellect has proven his willingness and desire to represent District 7. Josh has managed numerous multi-million dollar projects, which makes him more than capable of making responsible budgetary decisions for MISD. Josh's passion and vision for the community that he lives in and loves drives him to make this major commitment to his community. Josh's decision to run for the school board stems from frustration from sitting on the sideline while knowing there are challenges that plague MISD, policies, attendance, budget concerns, and teacher needs. His research of the policies, budgets, and needs will benefit all MISD with a fresh perception and his business mentality should contribute greatly to new possibilities of management of these challenges. Come out and vote for Josh Gwynn, District 7. Support Josh by early voting now or on Election Day, which is November 7th. Trudy Rodriguez. Voting for Murray is an easy decision. If you reside in District 7, please consider electing my father, Brian Murray, as your school board trustee. My dad is fully dedicated to a better future for MISD. He believes in the children and teachers of this community and will give everything he can to help them succeed. Last summer, he made the decision to resign his position as board president to give my brothers the opportunity to pursue their dream of teaching and coaching at our alma mater. I can assure you that the sacrifice was made with great difficulty, as he relayed his decision to us with tears in his eyes. His resignation weighed heavily on him, because he knew there was still work to be done at MISD. Since his resignation from the board, he has not missed a meeting. He is informed on everything happening in the district. He spends his free time supporting MISD extracurriculars, whether it be a football game on Friday night or judging a high school debate early Saturday morning. My dad has had to make many difficult decisions while serving the children and teachers of Midland. Please make an easy decision and vote for him for District 7. Bryson Murray. Gwynn wants to make MISD better. I met Josh Gwynn at an event that a neighbor held a few weeks ago. I was very impressed with his character, his honesty, and his desire to help be a part of making our district better. I think he has a very sensible and logical disposition. He also stated that he plans on sticking around for as long as he is a benefit to the community. Our district needs improvement, and relying on the same people who are responsible for failing schools is just not going to cut it anymore. Our family is proudly voting for Josh Gwynn to represent us in District 7 for the MISD School Board, and we are asking you to do the same. Juan Vasquez. MISD Board is better with Murray. Brian Murray is the definition of dependable leadership. I met Brian almost 7 years ago, and he was one of two very genuine and sincere board members about my concerns. When I first became involved as a parent, Mr. Murray was always one of the first to respond to my emails. I have always felt he listened and had an open mind. He is very present in all things MISD. You can always see him shaking athletes' hands after games, cheering in the stands, judging competitions, and celebrating victories. District 7 community members have a voice. Mr. Murray has repeatedly represented his constituents while on the board. I have attended many board meetings, committee meetings, and events where Mr. Murray was present. He asks questions and seeks to understand. He is not just a yes man. He is not the status quo. Brian Murray is honest and always leads with integrity. I know our community is better with Mr. Murray representing us. It is easy to support someone that always supports others. He is transparent and wants only the best for Midland and our entire community. Please join me in voting Brian Murray for MISD School Board District 7. Jennifer Carpenter. Gwynn provides MISD with needed change. I believe we need to change in our school district. We need people who are not afraid to ask tough questions out in the open and hold our superintendent and our district accountable. I think it's time to get some fresh perspective and make decision based on data. What we have been doing isn't working. My family and I will be voting for Josh Gwynn, and we believe he will do a wonderful job representing the constituents of not only District 7, but whole community with honesty, integrity, and authenticity. Please vote for Josh Gwynn if you live in District 7. Kristen Vasquez. Dedication, advocacy make Murray the pick. I'm Connor Benson, and I currently attend Midland College. About 4 years ago, I met District 7 nominee Brian Murray when I was a student at LFHS. Since then, I've grown to know Brian as an upstanding school board member and a great advocate for our community. I have been fortunate to meet with him and discuss some of the concerns I have as a former student. Not only does he listen, he asks me for more detail and inquiries about my input on possible solutions. Having a board member that engages with current and former students on a regular basis is a bonus that not many districts have. I have no doubt that he will continue to be the reliable school board member that I and others enjoy going to. His support in reinforcing our safety district-wide has been vital. The dedication he has shown and his willingness to provide the district with his all has been more than enough to gain my support and gratitude. Vote Brian Murray for District 7, Connor Benson. Gwynn will put the focus in the classroom. I have done my due diligence, and I am voting for Josh Gwynn. The parents and children deserve more. We deserve someone who will stand up for us, be accountable, and transparent. Josh is this person. He plans to put the focus back into the classroom. Almost 50% of MISD students are below grade level in one or more subjects. This is unacceptable. Josh understands the frustration of parents and teachers. Josh Gwynn is for all the children, not just his. Josh Gwynn's opponent, Brian Murray, resigned from the school board to ensure his son's coaching positions at Legacy Lee High School. The law prohibits an elected official to serve for a minimum of 6 months after a family member is hired. One of the last duties Mr. Murray performed on the school board was to change the swear-in ceremony from November to January to coincide with his 6 months. It has always been in November. This is unethical at the least. He changed this just for his current situation. If Mr. Murray will tweak this for his advantage, what else has or will he do to get what he wants? Vote for Josh Gwynn. Jesus M. Hernandez. Texas leads rig counts rise for third consecutive week. Drillers activated more rigs for a third consecutive week, led once again by the Lone Star State. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 rose one rig to 625, still 143 rigs fewer than the 768 rigs active across the country a year ago. For the month, the rig count rose two rigs for the first monthly increase since March. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil rose by two to 504. That's 106 fewer rigs than the 610 drilling for crude the previous year. For the month, the oil rig count rose two for the first monthly gain since last November. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas dropped by one to 117, 39 less than the 156 seeking natural gas last October. The monthly natural gas rig count rose by one for the second consecutive month. Texas led producing states in gains, adding three rigs for 311 rigs at work across the state. That's 37 fewer than 368 rigs a year ago. New Mexico dropped one rig to 100, Pennsylvania, one, joined Texas in seeing gains, while Louisiana, one, and West Virginia, one, saw decreases alongside New Mexico. The Permian Basin gained one rig during the week for 313 rigs, 33 fewer than the 346 counted last year. The Eagle Ford was the only other major producing basin to see a gain, also gaining one rig. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian with 56 rigs, unchanged for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, was next, continuing its downward trend by falling one rig to 43. Martin County is close behind, reporting 40 rigs for a third consecutive week. Reeves County had 32 rigs for a second week, and Loving County was unchanged at 26 rigs. Midland County had 24 rigs for a third consecutive week. Ward County added one rig for 13, while Glasscock County had 12 rigs for a third week. Howard County remained unchanged at 11 rigs. Tom Green County saw renewed activity with one rig active this week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 687 during the week ended October 25th, up by four rigs from the previous week's high point and up for the third week in a row. The count is up by 13 rigs, or 2%, in the last month, but down 206 rigs, or 23%, year over year. The largest regional increases of the week were in the Permian, which added three rigs to reach 304, and the Williston Basin, which was up by two rigs to 36. The Gulf Coast and Anadarko Basin added one rig each to hit 77 and 47. The Appalachian and DJ Basins lost one rig each to settle at 41 and 15. The Energy Information Administration reported that the natural gas rig count has fallen 24%, or 38 rigs, since the beginning of the year, attributable to lower natural gas prices for most of the year. A similar trend was observed by the agency in the Permian Basin, where producers typically respond to changes in the crude oil price. The agency said the oil-directed rig count in the Permian Basin fell from 357 rigs in May to 305 rigs as of October 20th, following the same pattern as the natural gas-directed rig count.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.